Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello and welcome. It is episode 11 of Alt Down Under with me, your host, Luke Scanlon. And first of all, I have to kick off. Apologies, because I did say I'd be back sooner rather than later, and I end up being back much later than anticipated. But don't you worry, we are back with a brilliant guest, an artist who's been plying her trade in Melbourne and building up a really solid little fan base, the fantastic Lottie Gallagher. Later on, we'll be talking about how and when Lottie discovered she had an unbelievable voice and why her dad, who I met at one of her gigs, is potentially more rock and roll than her. Plus, is Melbourne big enough for three Gallaghers? I'll be asking Lottie's thoughts about Oasis coming down to Australia on tour next year and her new EP, which just landed, A Better Feeling. What it's meant to her to release those songs, some of which, by the way, she released when she was in her early teens. Honestly, I don't even know what I was doing at that age, but she's put me to shame.
Alt Down Under.
Okay then, life update. Apologies I've been away for so long, but it's just been a case of getting myself off my ass, back on my feet, and all the cliche sayings in between, and getting stuff up and running once again in Melbourne. So it's amazing to be back. Been back 2.5, pushing 3 months now. I made the stupid decision to shave one's little melon, shave my head, and my God, it has been freezing. I kind of forgot how cold it gets in Melbourne in the winter, and yeah, safe to say, very cold. And one thing that does annoy me about living in Australia, there aren't many. There are way more pros and cons, but I swear to God, their windows, it'd be more use putting up sheets of, like, I don't know, tracing paper in the window frame, because honestly, the slightest gust of wind, your room's cold. It's outrageous. And my new housemate, Sam, she will happily say that she's a proud owner of an electric blanket. And yep, she's in her early 30s, proper nan behavior, but it's got to be done on account of the tracing paper windows. So what can you do? What can you do? But as I say, so good to be back in Melbourne, seeing mates, catching up, seeing the sights, seen some brilliant gigs since being back. Radio Free Alice, who was the last interview in episode 10. Do go back and listen to that episode. My chat with frontman Noah Learmonth, saw them play at the Nightcat in Fitzroy down here in Melbourne. And if you haven't been to that venue, it is one of the most unique, I reckon. It's quite strange. It's kind of like a breaking conventions of where a crowd stands at a live show. So it's basically a 360 thing. So you can be stood behind the band. Kind of looks like you're backstage. I've posted a few things on socials and people have DM'd me being like, mate, how do you keep getting side stage view? What's going on? It's like I've been invited back there by the band, but anyone can go and do that. But it's a great little venue. Saw them. Also at the same venue at the Nightcat, I saw Kitchen Boy and Velvet Club. And most recently, I saw Gut Health at the brilliant Sticky Carpets little venue. That is the Tote down in Collingwood. Gut Health, oh my Lord. If you aren't onto these guys, do go ahead now and listen to their debut album. Came out this month, October 2024. Stiletto is the title of that album. And bloody hell, when they are live, the energy that is on the record is just ramped up. Honestly, up to dial 11. And it's just, oh, beautiful. I loved it. Great energy. It was a Saturday night gig. So obviously, as we know, that helps. Stick a gig on a Tuesday, not quite the same vibe. But Saturday night, down at the Tote, unbelievable. They were on at like 11. I believe they came on at 11, which is madness. Gigs in the UK don't start that late. It's everyone's home by 11. It's like 9:30, 9. You got your headline band coming on. Anyway, came on and Athena, the brilliant name for the lead singer. My God, absolute powerhouse. And yeah, as I say, check out that album Stiletto, because she's just got such a fierce presence. A, through the punchy vocals, and B, just live in person. It's just, some singers have that real talent of just drawing you in from the first note. And that was the case here, man. Honestly, different levels. And of course, summer is upon us. Just when my hair is starting to grow out, it's getting warmer. So that means the group chats are popping off. Everyone's messaging saying, what festival are we going to? Have you booked this one? Have you got your code for early access? What's going on? Two festivals I'm looking at the moment. Beyond the Valley over New Year's Eve, which would be amazing. A mate of mine, Ollie Gill, shout out Mr. Gill. He's down there with his podcast, Dan Does Footy, which would be amazing. That'd be really cool to go see that. Then on the lineup, we've got the gals from home. Sugar Babes are coming over for this one, who, by the way, live, unbelievable. Natasha Bedingfield also going to be there. Confidence Man, Teenage Dads, Neil Francis, Lola Young, another amazing female artist, Jula Wusu, and the boys, who have had a huge year with a record amount of ARIA nominations. The boys that are Royal Otis, Unreal Stuff. Oh, AJ Tracy as well. I mean, the list goes on. It's unbelievable. And the other boys who have probably had a big year than most bands, they get a lot of mentions on this show because they're pretty much inescapable at the moment. The one, the only, Fontaines DC. They're coming down to Australia. They're also touring separately down here too. So if you are a fan, if you're jumping on the hype of the new album, get involved. They've announced dates across Japan, Australia, and New Zealand for early next year. And I'm hoping to see them in Melbourne when they play the Palace Foreshore. So lock it in. Lock it in. Mark those dates in your diary. Get on the general sale ticket releases because I think that is going to be flying out hot off the press.
Not a bomb judging Aussie tunes. Alt Down Under.
All right, enough of my ruddy nattering. Let's get into today's episode. As I mentioned at the top of the show, an amazing artist coming out from Melbourne, the brilliant Lottie Gallagher, who I've been trying to line up a chat with for ages, but sensibly, she's got DM requests shut off on Instagram. So you can't just be like, hey, Lottie, let's sort a chat out, which does happen a lot of time with artists. But no, fence is up. She knows that she's in demand, which I definitely rate. But finally got the chat sorted. Now, a couple of days before I had a chance to sit down with Lottie, it was her EP release show down at Fitzroy. The show for her new EP, A Better Feeling. And during the show, Lottie mentioned that some of these tracks that she'd released on the EP had come from quite a few years previous when she was very, very young. So I started by asking Lottie, how old were you when you picked up a pen and started getting into writing songs?
Alternative Down Under.
Yeah, I started writing songs at like 13, 14, and the first song I wrote was about my mum loving the cat more than me.
Nice.
We've all seen the light of day, but that's okay. That's me.
Okay, so yeah, that was that early stage of songwriting. Was there a moment you can kind of think back, because I can imagine there was kind of a slight, obviously, turning point where you went, okay, I've kind of got my head around songwriting. This is what I want to go for.
I reckon the most, like, you know, realization kind of like, oh, the most like realization moment that I had was, you know, I'd write songs and I'd always like go and, you know, sit in the lounge room and get my guitar and play them for my mum and dad. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know, writing maybe 3-4 songs a week. And then, you know, maybe one of those songs that week would, my mum would be like, oh, that's actually quite good. And for her, she always has notes. So I know that when she says something is good, she means it. But then I got maybe like 6 songs that were like, she was like, yeah, these are quite good. And then she and my dad sold the second car because we didn't really need it anymore. But I was lucky enough that they put the money into me and getting into a studio with a producer, which is really exciting. And from there, like, everything kind of started and...
Unreal.
Yeah, I was in a studio. Like, I went to a studio after school for, like, quite a few weeks and produced an EP, which that, again, will never see the light of day. But, you know, at the time... It felt really like professional and I was like, I could do this. Like, I would think I would really like doing this. So, yeah.
Unreal. Joe, it's quite funny you say that about your parents. Obviously, they were very supportive from very early stages of the career, because I came down to your gig recently at Punters Club in Fitzroy in Melbourne, and it was like the nicest atmosphere I think I've ever witnessed at a live show before, because it was I was there.
There was
obviously your fans, and then there was just a massive contingent of friends, close friends and family, and it was such a nice vibe in there.
It was so nice.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to ask, that must have been such a big part of lifting you up to the stage that you're at right now, having that support network around you. And it sounds like they're good in the sense that they'll let you know when you're good, but they'll also tell you when things aren't so good.
They definitely pull my head in. Like, I mean, not that I really need, I feel like, you know, I'm not a super like egotistical person in general, but I think like they're really good at, you know, giving critical feedback in a kind way, or sometimes like not so kind, but most of the time they're really like, they're always very supportive and they always say things, you know, out of love and like trying to help and stuff. So they're really important to me, and having them be supportive, because I know like a lot of people don't have, you know, supportive families, especially when they're pursuing like a creative career. But yeah,
go and get a job like, in accountancy.
Yeah, like so many people's families want them to do something that's like really reliable and, you know, don't necessarily want them to like pursue their dreams. But I'm really grateful for my parents and my family and my friends in that way, that they're very like supportive and always there and always show up for me in that way.
Yeah, so. Do you know what though? Doing it, obviously, as I said, I'm very excited to be doing this interview, but I'm also disappointed a lot of you, because I met your dad and I was like, is this the actual coolest member of the family? I need to lock an interview with this man.
He's pretty cool. And usually at shows, he has... I used to make this merch and it says Lottie Gallagher here, and then in like some like scribbly font. And
edgy font.
In an edgy font. And he wrote, so it says Lottie Gallagher, and then he did an S and wrote Dad underneath.
Yes.
And
love that.
Triple J Unearthed did a post the other day of the Unearthed stage at Big Sound. And he made it into that post. It was like a collage of all photos of different artists, bands. I was in there, and then there's Lottie Gallagher's dad.
It was so nice. He was honestly so beaming. And then I said hello to him quickly. I think we chinked glasses and then had a little handshake. My word, that man has a strong handshake. I'm still, my hand's still recovering. I was like, whoo, okay.
Yeah. His handshake was quite.
He locked on. Yeah. It was great. I wanted to ask as well, because obviously you mentioned just previous about like them pulling you in a sense, and not letting your head get too big. But I think everyone knows, punters and the artists themselves will know, that to be an artist, particularly someone like yourself that's like front and center, you do need to have a bit of an ego in some sense, right? Because otherwise you're just going to shrivel up in shyness and never do it. And you come across as very confident live, but is that you as a person? Are you naturally quite confident, or is that something that is brought out on stage for you?
I definitely think that I'm not a shy person in any way. I have moments where I get like nervous and I get afraid and like, but you know, it's moments where for most people, you're not wanting to have your job be getting up in front of people, like whether it's 52 people or like 15,000, you know, most people don't want to do that. And it's because it is really scary. And I think it's quite weird for me, because I get really anxious. Like I get really anxious before a show, but it's not necessarily because I'm performing in front of people, because my mindset is like, whether or not, like whether how I'm feeling is terrible or great, I need to get up there and do my job and make people feel happy and entertain them. So I don't really bring any of those feelings that I have about being anxious about the show on the stage. Once I'm there, I'm Lottie Gallagher and I'm locked in. I'm just like, okay, my job is just to perform for however long the set is, because when you're up there, you can't think about anything else, whether that's, oh fuck, I'm just terrified right now, or I'm feeling great. Like you just think, I've got to sing these words, I've got to do these actions, you know. And I always try to rehearse and do my show, and I'm just like, I can't do it because the people aren't there. Like I feel like I feed off of the other people's energy. But I definitely think in person, most of the time I'm pretty confident, but I definitely think I do have moments of having fear and anxiety and feeling like quite shy and to myself. I definitely think I need moments to myself, but I do think that people, my friends and my family, would describe me as a confident person, because I'm very good at like interacting with people that I don't know. But yeah.
Worst interview I've ever done. I'm joking. Let's get on to A Best Feeling then, the new release. Amazing. And I think it's got like such a good mix of songs. I think they're quite bookended in the sense they're like big, anthemic, slower down in the middle, end with another big one at the end. So in terms of that, again, back to your personality, because that must be, some of these tracks are quite like honest and open and, you know, out there, aren't they? Particularly like blue, heavy and falling through. Is that more of a thing for you where you're like, oh, okay, I'm opening up the inner monologue, as it were, and sharing it with everyone?
I definitely think those songs are like scarier to have in the world because they are more vulnerable. Whereas you look at songs like Adam and it's just like, you know, kind of a bit of a F you to the person that it's about. But yeah, I think it is a scarier thing for me to release more vulnerable songs. But for me, like writing those songs is more out of necessity than anything. Like I don't write a diary. I'm not a big talker about my feelings to most people. And I like to think about things a lot. And so for me, writing songs is a way for me to like get things out of my head into kind of like a different space that can then let me like process it. But I do think it's been a really important thing for me. You know, I've like struggled with mental illness and stuff like that. And having a song that really resonates with me, whether like in lockdown, I was listening to Billie Eilish's album, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Like every day. And that just like resonated with me so much. And I really related to it. And I think like, if I can write something that is out of like vulnerability and like kind of hurt, and I can like present that to the world, and even if one person listens to it and is like, this is exactly how I'm feeling, this, like, I can cry to this, I can feel really sad and emotional, but I really relate to this and this will help me get through that, then that's kind of why I want to release those songs, to help even if it's one person.
I suppose in a way as well, because regardless of whether they are or not deeply personal lyrics and stories behind each song, your fans will attach their own meaning to those tracks anyway, won't they?
Yeah, for sure.
They will have their own Adam, I'm sure, that they'll be like, that effing asshole.
100%. The amount of people that have actually come up to me and been like, my ex's name is Adam, I fucking love you for writing this song, like, it's insane.
I wonder if you've like inadvertently caused loads of Adams to get dumped.
Maybe not loads, but...
just an absolute spate of Adams dumping.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I wanted to chat to you about Gasoline. I mean, that I've literally, on my notes here, I've genuinely just written, and I did this at the weekend, hello vocals, because I think that one track in particular, that's one thing about you, Lottie, to people listening that don't know your music yet, or fans that do, and I would definitely be aware of this. Your voice is unbelievable. Like, as I brought my mate down to the show and he went, he let it into me and it was like the most old man saying ever. He went, she's got a set of pipes on her. And I was like, she does, man. Unbelievable voice. When you were putting this collection of songs together, was that a track that in particular were like, right, this is going to be a nice, like, well, it's a big, powerful track really, isn't it?
Kind of interesting that you said that. Like, I think Gasoline is one of the more chill songs, like vocally, like for me. I feel like I have quite a, I don't know if it's maybe like expressed in the EP to the fullest extent, but I've got a pretty like strong voice and I've got like a little bit of range to it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I definitely think Gasoline has like more of a spectrum of where my like range goes. Like it can go really deep and then quite high for some parts. That's really interesting that you said that. And thank you for saying that, because I haven't thought about it like that. But I can understand.
Yeah, and it's the first track out of the blocks and you're like, bang, okay.
Because for me, I think the hardest song for me to sing is Blue, because of just the like raw, like massive, like I'm basically like screaming when I sing that song, and I always have to have that pretty much next to last in the set, otherwise my voice is like ruined for the rest of it, which I need to improve on. But yeah. That is very interesting.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you about This Room as well, because I think that's the last track, isn't
it?
I think, did you end the set on that track last week? I believe you did at Punters Club.
I did.
Yeah, because obviously seeing it live and listening to the recorded version, there are those nice little breakdowns that lend itself very much to the live space. So is that, obviously, I guess that's slightly intentional? Because that's another big track on the EP, isn't it?
Yeah. I definitely think it's very intentional, because I wrote that after I had been performing for a little while. And so I was getting the hang of like being on stage and being like, okay, like when am I gonna, that song is really hard for me to sing because it's quite fast paced lyrically in the verses. And so I'm like, okay, like I need to breathe. I need to like figure out how I'm gonna do it. And then at the end, there's like those big like vocal parts that you know, in the recorded version aren't the main focus. But when I sing it live, I kind of switch it up from doing the chorus in the recorded version to like the backing part, because it's like, I think it's more fun to sing.
Nice. And just finally, before we move on from the EP chat, is there a track that on there that you look at and you go, that's my baby, that's the one I'm proud of?
God, okay, that's a good question.
I'm sure you've never looked at any of your songs and gone, that's my baby.
I do. I think of the EP as my little baby, and now it's in the world and I'm like, oh, people love my baby now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
But I think in the sense of what's closest to me is Blue or Falling Through, because I think that they are Blue. I wrote when I was 14 and I wrote it on my own, and that song is a very vulnerable song for me. And I don't know if I'm never going to explain that song or what it means, but for me, I know what it means. And like, for me, releasing that into the world was like a big thing for me. Cause I was like, okay, like this is the song that is closest to my heart that means the most to me. And it's the most vulnerable. And then everyone else will have it and they'll make up their own meanings, which I don't really care what other people make up the meaning of. But I think that's closest to me.
Yeah, nice. It's actually unbelievable that you wrote such a well-rounded song at 14, because I kind of think, what the hell was I doing at 14? Like, just playing football and being a really hopeless romantic.
Well, that's how these songs come about, being a hopeless romantic. I wrote Heavy and Blue when I was 14.
Love that. Before we get into the dream gig venue chat, Lottie, big news. Oasis are coming to Australia next year. Surely there's some sort of opportunity for you to come out with some merch and get on the back of the Gallagher name. The real LG. You should tweet Liam Gallagher.
Them getting back together was not on the cards because my mum's last name is Gallagher, and that's why my artist name is Gallagher, and then I have a different last name. So I picked my mum's last name to go with, because I was like, oh, the Gallagher, you know, the Gallagher brothers, sure, but like, they're not gonna get back together.
Selfish.
And now 2024 Oasis reunion, hello. But I reckon, honestly, probably not, because they are massive and very famous, but they are amazing.
I reckon you should just have a t-shirt or even tweet Liam Gallagher, because he loves Twitter, just be like, Melbourne's only big enough for one LG. Because he normally signs his tweets off with LG.
That's funny. We're matching.
There you go. Hack the system. I'm backing you. I'm backing you, Lottie.
I appreciate that.
Well, if you're ready, Lottie, we'll get into the dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Oh, I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Lottie Gallagher, let's step into your dream gig venue. Let's open up that melon and see what treats we have inside. Number one, what is the name you're going to give your dream gig venue, and what would the ideal capacity be?
Beautiful. I love this. Okay. It would be called, let me think about this for a second. The venue would be called Revenge, just because I think that's a really cool name. Actually, no, I'm changing it. Starting again. The venue would be called Blase Vengeance because that is how my AR guy, Damo, he's always described my music as like has a Blase Vengeance to it. I have no idea what that means, but I think it sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's great. Nice.
I think the capacity would be maybe like 5,000.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Because I think it's like big enough, but it's like still intimate. You know, like you can still like get kind of up and close and personal to people.
Yeah, for sure. What's the biggest crowd you've played to? Do you know?
Well, I did Mushroom 50. Mm. So but I played that with Gordy. So that's not a solo gig, but that was like, I don't know what the capacity of Rod Laver was that day, but.
Fair play.
That was that was a fair amount of people.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess at some point the crowd just gets so big, you don't really notice how big it is. Because you can't comprehend it.
Especially when the lights are on you, like you don't know. Like I didn't even really get to like look around when I was up there. And like I had my like in-ears in, they make you like kind of, you can't hear anything else other than what's in your ears. And so you, like at the end when people like, you know, doing a pause or whatever it's called. I had to like take it out to hear people, which is really insane. Like the amount of noise was like in like, yeah, but that's the biggest crowd.
Operating in two worlds. That must be very strange. Okay. Next up, what is the free drink on tap that you're going to have? And with this, also just a weird little side note, what's the free food that's available at the Blase Vengeance?
I'm going to say pints of cider.
Not any specific cider? Because you can get some really
like
weird
apple
ciders.
Cider.
Just straight up apple. Okay.
Like straight, like classic, like you go to a pub and you say, can I have an apple cider? And they just give you a pint of that. Like nice. That.
Yeah.
I was going to say if it was just me, I'd want like ramen, but like that's really for a gig venue. Like,
that. Can I have a bib as well? Just a big bib to wear.
Yeah, like that's not convenient for people. So I'm going to say like probably like pizza. I feel like everyone likes pizza. And if you don't, I'm sorry, but that's your fault.
I'm quite enjoying the dynamic of the very like posh edgy name and the straight up like blokey cider and pizza. It's great.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, next up, Lottie, what is the dress code? What would you like everyone to turn up in?
I think everyone has to wear like, not like cocktail attire, but like, I really love a good suit.
Everyone loves a suit.
Like on anyone. I just think they look so cool. Like suits on anyone just look amazing. And then, you know, if you're more feminine, like a tutu.
Interesting.
Like a fun little tutu, nice. I think.
With that, yeah. You seem to have quite a like, not fixed style, but like a look that you go for. Like I quite like the long flowing numbers that you wear. They're really cool.
I do love a long flowy number.
You do. Yeah. Have you ever got it caught like under a lead on stage accidentally?
All the time. Like honestly, either like I'm stepping on the bottom of my skirt and because it's so long and like I have to like untangle shit or like, oh, it's, or once my bracelet got caught to my skirt and it took me like half a song to get it out and like the whole crowd was just like watching me and I'm like struggling to the max. But okay.
I bet people are starting to feel concerned for your welfare. Which is acting very jittery. What's going on?
It wasn't good. It's okay. It's all right. We live and we learn.
Nice. So we're going with suits or tutus for the dress code.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up for the Blase Vengeance, support acts. This can be dead or alive, and you can go for as many as you want.
Dead or alive. That's insane. Shit, man. Like a support act for me, am I playing?
Yeah, just the dream gig venue. So you're...
Can I just be people that I want to see?
If you want, yeah. Or like, I don't know, who's like a big Lottie Gallagher influence that was behind your music?
Oh, mate, if I could, I would honestly just want him back in the world. So if I can bring someone back from the dead and I can watch them, it's going to be Jeff Buckley because he's incredible and I listen to him all the time.
I think it's the 30th anniversary of Grace album at the moment, I think. I think that's right.
Yeah, I love that album. Mm. I would 100% bring him back from the dead. Who would I have? I'm really obsessed with a band called Goodbye Butterfly. They are really cute and they make some really interesting music that I think like aligns well with my music. So I think if people came to a Lottie Gallagher gig and they supported or if I supported them at some point, that would be really cute. And also a girl called Harriet Wraith. She's really cool and I adore her. So either one on a lineup.
Okay, and finally, for the Blase Vengeance, who are you having run the front door security? And this could be anyone. It could be someone famous.
My dad.
It should be your dad. Because, as I say, my hand's still recovering. I can only imagine what he'd do with a punch.
Either my dad or, like, someone who's, or like, Dolly Parton.
Yeah, true. Because I think she'd be more like... She'd just be like there to create the vibe, get everyone in a good mood before getting in.
Like you want someone to create the vibe outside and then people get in, they're like really happy. So I think she'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd be really happy then. They'd come in and be like...
I think they'd come in and be a bit disappointed to leave her.
They'd be buzzing seeing Dolly and then they'd come in and be like, fuck me, Jeff Buckley's back. Yeah, exactly. Love that.
Alt Down Under.
Well, Lottie, thank you ever so much for dropping by and giving us your dream gig venue and joining us on Alt Down Under. And yeah, hopefully see you soon at a gig.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alternative Down Under.
Lottie Gallagher there with the Blase Vengeance. I think that might well be the most swanky of names that we've had on Alt Down Under's dream gig venue building. Yeah, I can imagine that up in neon signs and everyone being a bit like, I have no idea what that is, but I feel like I need to go in there purely on the basis that the name is that bloody swanky. My thanks to Lottie for dropping by for a chat. Honestly, really enjoyed getting into that and kind of getting into the head of an artist that was so invested in her lyrics and so aware of, I guess, of life experiences from a very young age and putting pen to paper and obviously then releasing those tracks. And to know that she has that family support around her, I mean, the family like really like literally funding her passion, not only with monetary value, but also with belief in her is great. And I totally rate the fact that her mum is willing to let her know when things aren't quite sounding as good. And hey, it sounds like it's working because this new EP, A Better Feeling, is full of great tracks. Honestly, get on board, listen to the whole thing and just enjoy Lottie's voice because, yeah, a real, real traction engine of a voice inside of her. I'm so excited to see where her voice takes her and what direction she heads down next as an artist. So, yeah, big, big things coming her way, I'm sure. Thanks for sticking with me whilst I've been getting my life and my shit together since getting back to Melbourne. Honestly, heaps of appreciation for all of you that listen to Alt Down Under and continue to follow us along the way. There will be now a steady cycle of episodes coming up. So don't you worry, we are back. We're back properly. I know I've said that 100 times, but yeah, like a bad rash, I'm back. Something I thought I'd never say. In the meantime, tell your friends about us. Like, follow, subscribe, do what you gotta do. And yeah, take it easy. Thanks so much. See you next time.